This study examines alcoholic energy drinks, premixed versus mix your own, and is sort of a follow-up to a presentation that I gave last year at APHA concerning caffeinated cocktails. The research is funded by the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism and North Carolina OJJDP. Last year, I presented results from Wake Forest linking energy drink consumption with high-risk drinking alcohol-related consequences among college students. Our research demonstrated that students who consume energy drinks along with their alcohol drink more per typical session, have twice as many binge days per month, twice as many drunken days in a typical week, and a highest greatest number of drinks in a single episode. But in addition to that, even after the amount of alcohol had been controlled for, these students were much more likely to be taken advantage of sexually, take advantage of someone else sexually, ride with a drunken driver, drive drunk, be hurt or injured, or require medical treatment as a result of their drinking. I'd like to speak briefly about what type of products we're talking about and what the nature of this presentation is, the premixed products versus the mix your own. Alcoholic energy drinks, an oxymoron with an emphasis on moron, if there ever was one, are called buzz beer by students. And this is an example of a number of the products, two of which have already been pulled from the market. Yay! This is not just a beer. I'd like you to take note of Miller Lite, a popular beverage at 4.2% alcohol by volume, a 12-ounce beverage advertised as having great taste and being less filling. In addition to which, please look at Sparks, which looks like a battery, is 7% alcohol by volume, and the marketing information given for this is that it is powered. You get power, you get energy from drinking these beverages. In addition to which, juice, the products vary between 9 and 9% alcohol by volume, argues that you will juice it up. And in addition to this poor woman who forgot her clothing this morning, you will note that what starts out as a brewed beverage, in other words, you make a beer, then you take out the beer. You add cranberry, ginseng, caffeine, taurine, whatever else floats your boat, and then you add distilled distilled liquor in most cases. These are how these are produced. Then you try to sell it as a beer, and you certainly market as it. I would encourage you to turn this website on, make sure your volume's up on your computer, drinkjuice.com. It is extremely entertaining, and in addition to the poor gal in various postures of interest, you can see what looks like a rave going on down below, and the message is loud and clear to youth that this alcoholic beverage provides energy and should be taken in a very big party fashion. Just to give you an idea of what the caffeine content is of these beverages, a cup of coffee brewed the way we do it in America has about 100 milligrams of caffeine. A Coca-Cola, 12 ounces, 34 milligrams. And you can see it sort of works its way up. One of the comments that's commonly made is that, well, a cup of Starbucks has more caffeine than one of these alcoholic products. But I'm here to tell you that it is physically impossible to drink 5, 6, 7 cups of Starbucks tall along with your alcohol and not vomit. However, I'm serious, you can't do it. These beverages, Four and Torque is a San Diego-based product, contain very large amount of caffeine. They're sweet and they're cold, and they go down very quickly for college-age students, and as we are finding out, and as we will release information tomorrow from one of my colleagues, actually among adolescents as well. In contrast to that, we have what are called the mix-your-own beverages. A Jägerbomb is made with Red Bull, a very popular mixer, and Jägermeister liquor. In addition to which, there are on beverage websites, and this is from Miller, examples of how you can take the so-called buzz beers and mix them with other kinds of alcohol to get your own drinks. No, we don't want to, his website's entertaining too, but we'll spare you that. And Torque, here we are, a San Diego-based product, Skull and Crossbones, or the Southern Cal Car Bomb. These are examples of drinks that I pulled from a website that has 250 popular drinks that could be made with Red Bull, my personal favorite, Panty Dropper Punch. You will find absolutely no reference on the Red Bull website in any country to mixing Red Bull with alcohol. However, I will show you this little dancing Red Bull, which I pulled a couple years ago off an Italian website advertising for student brand managers. And in my mind, it's probably not accidental that hanging off his ear is a little birdie with a mortarboard on his back and a book, and that he is indeed dancing with cocktails. This is not rum and Coke. Coca-Cola, if you make a rum and Coke in a standard fashion, you're looking at about 78 parts per million of caffeine, 14 milligrams of caffeine in that drink, as opposed to something like Torque, which in a can has 162 milligrams of caffeine. And again, these beverages are consumed in multiples. A popular drink, Red Bull and vodka, is about 272 parts per million of caffeine. You'll find out why we care. So this year, our study is called the Study to Prevent Alcohol-Related Consequences, and the data this year examines 8 North Carolina universities, a web-based survey that took about 20 minutes, and for which students were given a $10 PayPal incentive. 62% of the respondents were female, 80% Caucasian, with a mean age of about 20 and a half. 70% were past 30-day drinkers. Of the study sample, 704 drank alcohol mixed with energy drinks. So you can see we're looking at the subset of students who were past 30-day drinkers, and of those, 26% were drinking alcohol mixed with energy drinks. This mirrors our results from last year, in which 24%, and that number has also been borne out by a couple other researchers. So we're looking at 1 in 4. Compared to drinkers who do not mix alcohol with energy drinks, those who do were more likely to be male, white, Greeks. We found, as we did last year, they have a much higher prevalence of binge drinking, a much higher prevalence of getting drunk, and research, which I'm not going to focus on today, indeed a higher risk of serious alcohol-related consequences. They were much more likely to drink, they drank much more significantly on their heaviest drinking day, 8.6 drinks. They also, as a group, perceive that getting drunk is okay. And I will tell you that the reason why people drink caffeine with their booze is because in high amounts it ameliorates the subjective feeling of drunkenness. So you don't pass out because you have all that caffeine in your system, you can keep drinking. When we asked students who mix alcohol with energy drinks, when your friends drink, how many drinks do they have, we found that significantly they drank more. To give you an idea of what this is, 6.7 cans of Spark comes out to almost 19 cans of Coca-Cola. I think it's important to discuss availability, and I'm going to leave it to Michelle Simon to get into details of policy, but 80% of energy drinks, non-alcoholic energy drinks, are purchased in convenience stores. The Mintel industry report says that a quarter of energy drinks are bought as alcohol mixers. So 80% of them are purchased at convenience stores, and a quarter of the people who are buying them are specifically buying them in order to mix them with alcohol. We asked among the among drinkers who mixed alcohol with energy drinks, we asked the group, where did you get it? 65% of it bought it themselves, 13% got it for free, and disproportionately these were under 21. For almost 14% someone else bought it for them. Again, disproportionately these were under 21. The purchase site for those who mixed their own alcoholic energy drink was distributed on the higher end between the convenience store, which was about 36% of the sample, bars about 33% of the sample, and then winding your way down to super centers and pharmacies. On all campuses, they could be purchased at the campus store, I will add. For those who were underage, convenience stores also represented the primary purchase site. And again, this has policy implications in terms of enforcement. I will tell you that this is this particular slide addresses not just the mix your own, but the pre-mixed as well. We were limited in the number of questions, and that is a limitation to the study. All students, the majority of students, think it's easy to get alcohol. But the thing that was of particular interest to me, the underage students were much, much more likely to get energy drinks for free. Sparks is the winner. Tilt is off the market as a result of an agreement with Anheuser-Busch, which I'm hoping Michelle will speak to. But Sparks is everybody's favorite. So now let's look at the breakdown in terms of who's drinking pre-mixed, who's mixing their own, and who's drinking both. You can see that the largest number of students were mixing their own. A substantial portion drank both pre-mix and mix your own, and then a small portion drank only the pre-mixed. The typical number of drinks was not significant among these groups. It's significantly different among these groups. It's a definitely significant amount of alcohol. To give you an idea, 6.1 Torx comes out to 988 milligrams of caffeine. The number of drinks on the heaviest drinking day was different, and what we're thinking is that probably the mix-your-own group is driving this data. We don't know. One of the limitations of doing research of this nature is that it's impossible to know exactly how much caffeine, exactly how much alcohol is being put in each beverage by each student, not just because the packaging's different, but because a lot of mixing-your-own is what's going on. It makes it difficult to compare. The heavy episodic drinking was higher among the groups that also mixed their own, and the number of drunken episodes per week was slightly more significant. Drunk driving was the same, though, among all groups. The limitations I mentioned, the biggest one being the difficulty with quantifying the exact amount of caffeine and alcohol, the fact that it's a self-report survey, that it was done in a specific geographic area, Those would be the biggest limitations. I'm going to very briefly mention policy implications because that's the nature of my talk today. However, Michelle is much more qualified and can speak to some of the difficulties that we face in this area. Number one, the marketing. This is from the Miller website. You'd be hard-pressed not to say that this beverage isn't focused on young people when one of the beverages that they suggest could be made from Sparks is called the Lunchbox. In addition to which, I think it's all indications that an alcoholic beverage is a stimulating beverage should not be permitted. Here's one that says, laugh in the face of last call. Prove, Thursday night ends Monday morning. And this particular website is rather entertaining as well because the little rocket takes off. I'd like to spend just a moment giving you the setup for what Michelle's going to speak about. On the map here, one of the problems is that these beverages are classified as beer in a lot of places, and they are sold in places where beer can be sold and obtained, and that makes them much more accessible for young people. I made this map last week with the assistance of Jim Mosier, from who's a senior policy advisor currently in Washington, D.C. And the blue states are the ones in which these beverages are classified as distilled spirits. Remember, I explained to you that most of these beverages have distilled spirits added to them. In the blue states, and I learned Friday that Rhode Island is the fourth state that can be counted among those, they are distilled spirits under current law. In the green states, they appear to be defined as distilled spirits in the current law, but are classified as beer. Being defined as one thing and being classified having to do with regulation rather than legislation. I'm not an attorney, but fortunately Michelle's going to dig us out of that conundrum. The yellow states, these beverages appear to be beer, legislative action is needed to reclassify them as distilled spirits. And lastly, in the white states, they can't make up their mind. Illinois, it's sold as a wine cooler. That's why Illinois is red. I would suggest that merchant education is not enough. What you need is vigorous compliance checks and enforcement that is both swift and strong. I would also argue that we need to strongly reexamine the use of caffeine as an alcohol to an alcoholic beverage. I think caffeine does not belong in alcohol. The Europeans are extremely interested in this, and I would recommend this particular little monograph that came out about a week ago to you, where the Dutch consumer advocacy group pulled together a list of all of the different European countries, what alcoholic beverages that contain caffeine were available on the market and how they're being sold. I would also suggest that corporate sponsorship on campuses of both alcoholic and non-alcoholic energy drinks should be reconsidered. It seems to me, this is an example of one that I pulled from Minnesota, where in return for $200 and 25 cases of Monster, fraternities provide information to Monster, which is a non-alcoholic energy drink. But I can tell you what they're doing with it. And we just need more research. It's a sticky subject. Any questions? Thank you. Oh, yes, sir.
Do you have any data, or does anyone have any data on the side effects of that amount of caffeine being taken? Cardiac arrhythmias, hypertension?
One of the difficulties is that there's not really a national repository for who's getting into trouble with that amount of caffeine as a result of alcoholic binging. And the lethal amount of caffeine, it takes 192 milligrams per kilo to kill a rat. And the number is about, what that quantifies to for a human is somewhere between 80 and 100 cups of coffee in a day. But it's dependent on how well acclimated your system is to caffeine and over what period you consume it. But those things are known in the medical world, but how that has overlapped with this problem of drunken driving and sexual assault and all these other things is, it's anecdotal, and that's where the state of the research is right now. Any other questions? Thank you for your attention.